Hello, this is Jeff Wine with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Key Realty. If you are considering a move to or within the Blue Water area, please reach out to discuss your housing needs. Call 810-650-6255. Again, that is 810-650-6255. Thank you.
Mostly cloudy skies and 36 degrees at 840. Good morning, Caleb Gordon here on the WPHM Morning Show. We are looking at the year 2024. I know it's not quite over yet, but a lot has happened over the past year. We spoke last hour about things from a national perspective. Let's take a look at things from a statewide perspective, if you will. Emily Lawler, politics editor with the Detroit Free Press, joining us live on the phone this morning. And Emily, for the final time in 2024, I want to say thank you for making some time for us here on WPHM.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on and to put things in perspective. We'll look at things more or less in the political sense, just because that's, you know, what your bread and butter is there at the Freep. And we will also kind of do it in reverse order with the most recent thing, and that has to be this really chaotic lame duck session. It had been described to me as lame duck or insane duck, if you will. It's been something else this past month in Lansing, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we saw the Democrats sort of temporarily lose their majority. They had two representatives run for mayor and win those seats. So, they had to wait for special elections in April to get those seats back. They were safe Democratic seats. But, you know, it was a really slow start to the year, and people thought that would mean a really fast finish to the year, that lame duck would be when a lot of the priorities got pushed off until, that all those things would be moving relatively quickly in lame duck. And that is just not what we saw happen. Obviously the House once again was the holdup, I guess, when the Republicans walked out and then they lost a Democratic member, and they really just didn't even have a quorum to act. And we saw the Senate sort of try to, make up for that to the extent that they could. But obviously, it's a two-chamber body, and you need two chambers to do your biggest priorities.
What were some of the things that did get passed? And I guess more importantly, what were some of the things that didn't?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that did get through was the extending unemployment. Michigan, under Rick Snyder, in 2011, took that from 26 to 20 weeks. And this legislation takes it back to 26. And that's one of the things that got through both chambers and all the way through to the governor's desk, and she signed it. So, you know, that's obviously something that'll affect a lot of day-to-day life. And they got some smaller bills through, I would say. But some of the big priorities, you look at Whitmer in the fall of 2023 had outlined some big priorities, and she did get energy policy done in 2023. But, you know, some of the things like the pharmaceutical boards to combat drug prices and the paid family leave just sort of fell by the wayside, as did the Michigan Voting Rights Act. And then some issues that, you know, specific members had advocated for that, you know, I'm not sure whether the votes were there for or not. But things like the driver's licenses for all, and I would throw on the list too, a few smaller things that were really important to specific representatives. And I think that's sort of where the wheels started to come off, is that, people had been told to sit on their priorities and that lame duck would be the time. And then it became pretty clear that lame duck wasn't going to be the time.
What is going to be Joe Tate's legacy as Speaker of the House now that his tenure is essentially over, at least at the head of the chamber?
Yeah, well, there's some indication he could be looking for a new legacy in local politics in Detroit, but, you know, it's hard to imagine. my indicator for when we've had a weird legislative year is if your biggest accomplishment is passing the budget, because that's the one thing that's constitutionally mandated. It's not really an accomplishment. You have to do it, right? So You know, I think that's kind of the sort of year we're in, is that, you know, they passed a budget and not much else. And like I say, you know, obviously they were hamstrung a little bit by those missing seats for a while. But I don't know what kind of excuse you can make for what happened during lame duck. And, you know, of course, Joe Tate had the most productive, you know, first 6 months of 2023 in his speakership. That was when they did big things like include LGBT folks in the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act and, you know, reverse course on right to work and some of those longstanding priorities, reversing the so-called pension tax, you know, things that Democrats had said that they wanted to do for a long time. But, you know, other than that, it really seems like, you know, those first 6 months of lawmaking in a 2-year term defined the whole term. And I think after those 6 months, people thought, where do they go from here? And the answer was a little bit underwhelming to some.
We're speaking to Emily Lawler of the Detroit Free Press, talking about some of the big things that happened legislatively and politically here in the state of Michigan. What set up that lame duck session in the State House of Representatives was, quite frankly, the election results. And as we were talking just before we took the air, Michigan was a swing state, and that was fully on display in November, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think there was some sort of a question because, so, you know, you recall that Michigan was a solidly Democratic state in presidential years until 2016, and Donald Trump unexpectedly won here in 2016, handing him the presidency, or helping to. And then Biden won here in 2020, and then, you know, 2024 comes around, and I think there was some sort of, you know, there was some question as to who would win this time. So we certainly got, oh my gosh, way more than our fair share of presidential visits, of vice presidential visits, of surrogates swinging through Michigan to court our votes this cycle. My team was scrambling on the ground across a lot of counties here, a lot of geography, as far up north as Traverse City, certainly a lot in the Saginaw area. You know, Grand Rapids, Lansing, Detroit. So certainly we were making our way around the state trying to get a handle on all of these candidates and what they were saying. And, you know, they made news here. They had big events here. I think that, you know, Donald Trump had his first, oh my gosh, this is getting a little convoluted, but I think one of the biggest rallies we saw was when Donald Trump held his first rally here after his first assassination attempt.
There were a lot of political visits, a lot of visits by you know, President Biden, and then quickly things had to pivot to his vice president. And she made several visits to Michigan, too. Obviously, Trump has visited Michigan a lot. I think it's fascinating when talking about the election and the results specifically, is that Michigan ended up going with President Trump, former president, and reelecting him again to the presidency, but decided to instead say, we still want a Democrat representing us in the Senate, which is just fascinating, the fact that we could split the ticket like that.
Yeah, I think that certainly Michigan had really mixed results because, you know, you combine that, you know, what you just said with the presidency and our U.S. Senate seat going with a different way. And then, of course, Democrats lost the House of Representatives, which they had controlled this session for the first time in 40 years. So, you know, just some really mixed results. And I think that, you know, Michigan sort of cemented its status as a swing state. If anybody doubted Michigan's ability to hold two truths in its mind and two parties in its heart, I think this cycle showed them wrong.
Yeah, the fact that there were people who decided to vote for a, you know, Republican for president, but the Democrat for Senate is what makes, I think, Michigan so unique, and is why you saw so many of those campaign visits. Debbie Stabenow is retiring this year. That's why there was a competitive U.S. Senate seat up for grabs here. Just put her legacy in the perspective, if you can, in the next minute or two, Emily.
Yeah, so Debbie Stabenow, hugely influential senator from Michigan. She's been our senior senator, first elected in 2000, and was sort of a historic win then when she bounced off a sitting Republican to take that seat. And really since then, Republicans have just struggled to regain a U.S. Senate seat, and it's sort of a top prize. So when she had announced that she wasn't running again, and certainly she's left a huge legacy, things like the Farm Bill, mental health facilities, she's really dug deep on several issues that affect Michigan in Congress, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. And when she stepped down, that open seat was just a frenzy. So Mike Rogers ended up running against Alyssa Slatkin, and Alyssa Slatkin, as she has in several less than favorable circumstances and districts, ended up pulling it out just by a hair there.
Let's back up even more, hit the rewind button to, oh boy, was this in April, the draft, the NFL draft in downtown Detroit? I know the Free Press team was really busy that week. I bumped into your colleague Clara at the press conference that Governor Whitmer had on top of a rooftop building downtown that morning. And you guys were kind of all out and about during that NFL draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people were sort of looking to this as a sign that the city, is capable of hosting these huge events and sort of generating that national stage and activating that. So I think people were certainly engaged, and, it's a cool event in downtown Detroit. But I think, more importantly than that, Detroit was sort of showing a new face to people who maybe hadn't seen it since the Super Bowl, which was a lot of years ago at this point, right, that Detroit hosted. So, I think that Detroit took that chance to shine on the national stage and maybe show something a little bit different. And, we saw a couple positive trends in Detroit this year. One was that the population upticked slightly after, of course, years of decline. And then, the other is that the crime rates in Detroit have shown some sign of abating. So I think that the city sort of got its flowers a little bit during that NFL draft event that so many people watched.
Yeah, so let's just stay on the city of Detroit for a couple more items here on my list. They're going to have a new mayor. You kind of alluded to that earlier when we were speaking about the speaker. But Mike Duggan announced that he is not running for re-election and subsequently announced that he's running as an independent for governor instead.
Yeah, definitely, which is a bit of a surprise move, I would say, or at least surprising to me, just because we see those, that's not the traditional mold for a third party candidate here in Michigan. Someone with that kind of name ID really kind of throws, I think, what we know about third parties to the wind. And then, of course, it sets off this chain reaction in Detroit where we get to learn who's interested in that seat. So I think, certainly we'll see some folks running. We've got a lot of people with local government experience who could be interested. We mentioned Joe Tate with some statewide government experience could be interested. So I think that we'll kind of have to see how that race plays out, but certainly some potential for interest there.
Also, news was made regarding the Renaissance Center and the headquarters of GM. I believe earlier this year, GM announced they were moving to the new, still under construction, Hudson's development, which means that there would be quite a bit of opening. There's already quite a bit of opening at the Renaissance Center. And then we learned just recently that there are plans to perhaps partially demolish it, and they were asking the government, the legislature specifically, for some help in that. I don't think they ended up getting that money that they were asking for out of the lame duck session, did they?
No. And, I guess the question is sort of what happens to Detroit's skyline with the Renaissance Center being such a big part of it, and just sort of this hulking giant right on the river, right? So I'm not sure if the proposal currently on the table is the only proposal or if there might be some rethinking in that department, but I wouldn't be surprised if some big decisions are made on that in 2025.
Another fun item, I believe this was also back in April, was the eclipse.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I went out and watched it. Did you?
I did. I do remember this very distinctively because it was a really nice day for April, and ended up going just down the street about a block away to Casey's, which is a bar restaurant here. They opened up early that morning and had an eclipse party, and they were serving up Bell's Oberon Eclipse, which seemed fitting. So, and I got, and our community college, St. Clair County Community College, gave everyone free, glasses to wear. And it was a fun, I had more fun than I thought I would have, to be honest with you.
That is fun. Yeah, I saw it in downtown Detroit. I think there was a small corner of southern Michigan that was in the path of totality where you would have seen the total eclipse of the sun. But, you know, Detroit got pretty close. So, yeah, I went out in Campus Martius and was looking up with some coworkers with glasses on, of course. And, you know, it was pretty cool to see it just slide over and get mostly dark. And, you know, there's sort of a surreal moment just looking up with a bunch of other people. And I did sort of feel like it was part of something big and cool. And Michigan gets a lot of that. So
yeah, that was fun. Something that I'll remember for sure. There were a lot of good moments in 2024 too. It wasn't all doom and gloom. A lot of good sports moments for the city of Detroit and for the state of Michigan. A lot of memories being made. In the summertime for me, it's usually up north or Mackinac Island or the UP or stuff like that. And there were a lot of good moments all around here in 2024 too. I feel like we tend to remember the bad ones more than the good ones, but. It was a good year for many different reasons. Emily Lawler will be reading more about in the days to come about 2024 and what's next in 2025 in the Detroit Free Press.
Hey, thanks so much. And keep reading. And we hope to have some good news for you, too.
I appreciate that very much. Emily Lawler giving us a few minutes of her time. Here on this Friday morning as we look back at some of the bigger statewide stories of 2024. In the next hour, we'll talk about some of the biggest issues here in the city of Port Huron from the past year. It's the WPHM Morning Show. I'm Caleb Gordon.